You know, sometimes we just need to be lifted up. You agree? And we live with negativity all around us. I mean, just on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, sometimes on a moment-to-moment basis. And we're just covered with negativity, pressing in from all around. And sometimes we just need a little encouragement. And that's what this whole series is about. It's just called Uplifted. And so the idea is to come in on a Sunday morning. We're going to hear about some promises. A lot of these are going to be reminders about promises that God has given us. And for us to just be lifted up. Promises that lift us up and help us to be able to move forward in life. I think one of the effects of forgetting some of these promises of God is that we see fear creep into our life. When we start to forget these promises, when these promises aren't as much in the forefront of our mind, in our memory, in our psyche, we have fear that will creep in. Now, I'm not talking about watching a scary movie type of fear. Not that kind of fear. You know, not teaching your teenage child how to drive kind of fear. I'm not talking about, you know, in rush hour traffic with an upset stomach hoping you can make it home type of fear. Say, okay, I'm seeing some looks. We've been there before. We've shared that. I'm talking about a deep-rooted fear, a fear that's more predominant in just an underlying layer in our life, almost like just a film that covers. It's part of our core belief system of how we handle our philosophy, our outlook, our worldview. And it's controlled and molded, held by this fear. A fear of failure, maybe, that haunts every venture. A fear that you just don't have what it takes. A fear that you might mess it up. You know, what if I don't raise my kids right? What if I can't handle this new task at work? A fear of fitting in. A fear of loneliness that causes you to question your self-value. A fear of acceptance by your loved ones. A fear of acceptance by your coworkers or your schoolmates. Fear of being deserted. Fear of being just left out there to dry. Some, and I know this is a fear when you get on in your years and your family has moved on and your family has families and your family's families have families, and that it's the fear of just being forgotten, of just being left out. How does this affect our day-to-day decisions? I would wager to say that every one of us here have some deep-seated fear that has some control on our life, that has some limitation, some debilitating effects on our life. And maybe it's a fear that you've confronted in the past, but you've noticed that it still creeps up on you. It still shows up from time to time. And we live this way. We live this way. We're second-guessing decisions. We second-guess actions. We second-guess people's words. We second-guess our own worth, our own value. And so today we're talking about connecting up. All the titles in the series have the word up in them. Today's connecting up, to be uplifted. And that is that God is always with us. And let me tell you, church, that is a fear breaker. Amen. God is always, always with us. Let me start off with some famous words from Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before he ascended into heaven, before he went into heaven, and this is after his resurrection from the dead, after appearing to the disciples many times, and at the very end of Matthew's gospel, the very last words that Matthew records of Jesus before he ascends into heaven, we call this the Great Commission. And it's a passage of scripture a lot of us are familiar with. In fact, most of the scriptures today are scriptures that you've heard probably a bazillion and one times, but they need to be brought to the forefront of your mind again so we can be uplifted by them. So Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Now, we focus a lot on that part of the Great Commission, the do part. I've preached on that many, many times, and I will preach on that many, many times in the future. That is a very important piece of what we have as Jesus' followers in the kingdom, our activity and what's expected of us. But here's that piece at the very end that I don't want us to miss today. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So write this down. Jesus promises that he will always be with me. Jesus promises he will always be with me. Jesus says, "Surely." He wants his disciples and future members of his kingdom to know without a doubt that he will not leave us to accomplish his work alone. Now, though the context here is to give us confidence to accomplish the task of going out into all the world and making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that he's commanded, that's the context of where Jesus is sharing this. But this promise is not given with some clause. The promise doesn't say, you're going to go out and you're going to do this, and if you don't do it, then this promise doesn't stay. If you're not doing the work, then you miss out on my presence. That's not what this says at all. The context is, here's what I want you to do, and be reminded, I'm with you. I'm with you always. It's not do this and then get this. It's do this and let me remind you of this fact, of this truth, that you are my Father's children and you're part of my kingdom, and I will not leave you. I'm going to be with you always. And that's to be an encouragement to empower us to go and do what he's asked us to do. But never should we look at that as an if-then statement. If you do this, then I will do this. Is Jesus saying, you do this and be assured of this truth, of this reality in your life? It's a promise. It's a promise regardless of our activity. Do I want to discourage you from doing the Great Commission? Absolutely not. But do I want us to have a good handle on the truth here? Absolutely so. Yes, go and make disciples and baptize people and teach them. But also be assured that in the times when you're not, in the times when you're not doing anything for the kingdom, in the times when you're falling the shortest that you've fallen in a while, that part of the promise is still there. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. The promise of his presence in our life, it's not contingent on our activity. It's not contingent on our situation. It's a promise. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. But know this fact, I will be with you. This is the way I've set it up. Jesus says, this is the way I've set it up. That I'm always going to be with you. How often do we forget about that promise? How often do we forget and lose focus that Jesus is always with me? I know it happens for me. I assume if it happens for me, then it would happen for anyone else. That we get caught up in life, or we get focused on what I can and can't do, or whatever we are on those in those situations. But I think there are many times when we lose focus, and we need to have this reminder of Jesus' words, I will be with you always. I think we can answer that question of how often do I forget about this promise by answering the questions of how often does fear grab a hold of my life and make decisions for me? How often are my decisions based on fear? How often are the situations I put myself in, how often are they based on fear? Because If we think about that, how often am I shut down by fear? How often do I stress over a decision because of fear? How often do I close up because of fear? Then we've answered the question of how often we've forgotten that Jesus is always with us. Because that's a fear breaker. It's truth, and it's truth that will uplift us all. Truth, Jesus is always with us, always. No matter what. Did you catch that word he said? Always. I will always be with you. No matter what decision you're facing, no matter what decision you just made, no matter the difficulty of whatever you're dealing with, no matter the situation you have at home, the situation you have at school, situation you have at work, no matter if it's your fault that you're in the situation that you're in, or if it's by outside circumstances that you had no control over, or maybe you're just not even in a circumstance at all. Maybe you're in one of those moments in life where there's no situation, good or bad. There's just nothing going on. Always means always. It means always. It's not contingent on things. It's not contingent on activity. It's not contingent on circumstance. It's not contingent on situations. Whatever the scene that is the setting for your life right now, Jesus says, I will always be with you. If you're a Christian, Jesus' words, I am always with you. And just to say that wasn't enough for Jesus, he puts emphasis on both sides of it. He starts off the phrase by saying, surely. Listen, you can listen to me and know that these are strong words coming. Jesus says, surely I am with you. Just in case you have a chance of doubting, just in case that creeps in, or just in case the fears start to come in, know that Jesus doesn't just say, I'm always with you. He says, surely I am always with you. And then he tags on to the end. He says, even to the very end of the age. Even to the very end of the age. Both sides of that phrase, I'm always with you, always. I'm going to reverse my sentence so it makes sense for you guys. Surely I'm with you always. Even to the end of the age. He doesn't want us to miss this. He never wants us to feel the disabling effects of fear on any aspect of our life, but especially in the context of what he's sharing. He doesn't want the fears of this life to affect our involvement in his kingdom or our effectiveness in his kingdom. What Jesus says here in the Great Commission, it goes hand in hand with what God had said to Moses, and then what Moses said to Joshua, and then what God came in and said to Joshua back in the Old Testament. God himself, he reminds Joshua, he reminds Moses of his presence, the promise of his presence. And this is going to be a famous passage that you guys are going to recognize. You might not have known where it was or where it came from. But Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is talking about, here are some things that God has shared with me. They're about to go into the promised land. Moses is at the end of his life, and he's sharing in this passage, here are some things that God has shared with me, and I'm sharing with you these things that the Lord said to me. And among these things, he says that God had said to him, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never, what? Leave you or forsake you. How many of you guys have heard that before? How many of you guys would have been able to say it's in Deuteronomy? Okay, yeah. Now you know. Then Moses tells Joshua in a very personal manner. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid Do not be discouraged. And then when you flip over to Joshua, God comes to Joshua himself, and God reassures this himself to Joshua. So all three of these occurrences right here, jam-packed together, let's read that. It says, no one will be able to stand against you. This is God talking to Joshua. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, before we move too much forward, I am very cautious about taking things out of context. I'm very, very cautious. And I always hit the pause button when I'm listening to someone else speak and they bring something like the whole Jeremiah thing, you know, the plans I have for you are to prosper, you know. Wait a minute, he was talking to a specific place, a specific situation, yada, 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 you know. So in this situation, I look at this and I say, okay, this is uplifting, but it's right here. All three occurrences of this, God will never leave us, never forsake us. All three of the ones that are in the Old Testament are right here, jam-packed together. They're to specific people. They're about a specific situation. They're at a specific time, a specific event in history. And so in that, as a theologian, or as much as I try to appear to be one, I pull that out and I say, you know, that belongs here. Until you read in Hebrews, where the Hebrews writer quotes this completely and uses it completely out of context from that context. And I think it's very encouraging to see this, and I want to explain why here in just a moment. Yeah, I think I got that. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. What? Okay, so the context, we just read the context of that. The context is God saying to Moses, saying to Joshua, saying to the Israelites, you can go into the promised land, you will take the promised land, you will live there, you will reside there, don't fear things, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid, because I'm with you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. It's about entering the promised land. And the Hebrews writer talks about the subject we were just talking about last week, talking about money. He's like, don't fall for the love of money, because God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what this does is this opens the door for this verse, because the Hebrews writer was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so if he's saying this promise was not contingent on that situation, this promise was not just for Joshua or Moses, then I can stand up here on a stage 2,000 years later and say without a doubt, this passage in Deuteronomy, this passage in Joshua, this passage in Hebrews, it applies to every one of us. It is a promise of God's presence, not conditional on a situation, not conditional on a circumstance. The Hebrews writer is talking about money, completely separate context than the promised land. And he pulls this promise because it's a promise of God's presence to his people. And it's consistent with other places of Scripture of Jesus promising his presence and the Holy Spirit, which we'll get to in just a moment. So we can take that, we can dissect it, and we can apply it. And we can be uplifted by that. We can be encouraged by that, that we don't have to fear. We don't have to be discouraged. And when we put these two contexts together and we say, okay, we have the going into the promised land, what would be the fears of that? We have the context in Hebrews where he's talking about the love of money and not falling to that. And so that comes that fear of needing something else to grab a hold of, needing something else to find as a security blanket, something to give us that confidence. And he's saying, look, don't turn to money. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Be reminded that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. Let's write that down. God will never leave me or abandon me. That's the word. The word forsake means abandon. What are some fears that would go hand in hand with the Israelites taking the promised land or the fears that could lead to the love of money? I think the fear of the unknown comes to mind. You know, they didn't know what they were getting themselves into in the promised land. And I think some of the fears that we have of the fears of the unknown can lead us to cling to things as a support, as a source of security, which is where the love of money comes from, putting our trust or our confidence in something of this world. I think the fear of unknown leads to that. What's coming up? I don't know what's on the other side of this mile marker in my life. And that can be scary sometimes. But God says, I'll never leave you. Whatever's on the other side of that fence that you can't see right now, whatever's going to happen tomorrow, whatever's going to happen next week, I'm not going to leave you then. I'm with you now. I'm not going to desert you. I'm not going to abandon you. Whatever happens on the other side of that. So when you don't know what to expect out of a situation or out of a circumstance, let me tell you what you can expect, that God's not going to leave you. Amen. God's not going to, that's what you can expect. So don't worry about the things that you can't expect or you can't know. Focus on the things that you do know, and you do know that God will never leave you no matter what happens. He's not going to abandon you. You're not going to cross over some mile marker into some situation in your life, and God's going to say, nah, this is too tough for me. Or this is too dirty for me. Nothing's too anything for God. His grace is bigger than anything that we could get ourselves into. Any kind of mucked up, you know, situation, any kind of dirt, any kind of nasty mess, he can live through that with us. He can help us through that. He's not going to leave you. Whatever situation you find yourself in through outside circumstances, that call from the doctor, the call from your work, when years ago there were a bunch of layoffs going on. And that was a fear. That was a serious fear when the phone rang. Is this my company? Am I going to be in the wave of layoffs this week? But God says, I'll never leave you. Whatever happens, and nothing's too big. Nothing's going to scare God away. But I think we forget that. I think we forget about this verse, a verse that we know of. And a verse that after today, if you've had any question of whether or not it applies to you, it absolutely applies to you. If you're one of God's children, then you're God's people, and that promise of his presence is for his people. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. We don't need to cling to other sources for our security. The temptation of the love of money or the temptation of any other kind of false sense of security. All we have to do is hang on to this truth, this reality. It's an eternal reality. You know, some things we cling to, like the love of money that the Hebrews writer mentions. We cling to our assets, or we cling to our house, or we cling to our family, or we cling to just a number of different things. All of those things are temporary. This promise from God, I will never leave you, I'll never abandon you, that's eternal. That's more real than the reality we can see and touch. because it's an eternal reality. The fear of failure, I think, grabs a lot of us. I mentioned that a little earlier. Don't back down to that. Don't shrink back. Don't cling to other sources to boost your confidence. You have all you need in God, and God's promise that he will never leave you. He'll never abandon you. And that's potent when we let that sink in. That's a fear crusher. There's no room for fear. When our minds are set on that belief, on that understanding, are we going to fail sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we're going to fail. We're going to fall flat on it. Sometimes we'll succeed. But yeah, sometimes we're going to fail. Don't fear that. Because God says, I'm going to be with you before the failure. I'm going to be with you before the attempt. I'm going to be with you during the attempt, whatever it is you're attempting. And I'm going to be with you after the attempt. Success or failure, I'm not going to leave you. That takes the fear away. It should. Even if you fail, even if we fail, God says, I'm not going to leave you. It's kind of like the picture of Jesus and Peter. As Peter's walking on the water, you guys remember this scene? And Jesus is there to encourage him. You can do it. Step out. Walk on the water. And Jesus is also there when Peter's faith falters and he starts to sink, isn't he? Jesus doesn't say, well, tough luck. You had faith, you lost faith. I got 11 other guys in the boat. He reaches his hand out. He doesn't leave him. That's a great picture of us in our fear of failure. When we succeed, he's there to encourage us. When we fail, he's there to help us and save us. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. What if I'm not good enough? I mean, we all have that fear, I believe, at one time or another. Don't fall to that fear. And don't cling to other sources of self-worth and self-value, other sources that will lie to you, that will appeal to pieces of you that really aren't truths. Listen, the truth is you probably aren't good enough. Don't fear that. Just accept it and believe and rely on and trust in and lean on the fact that God says, even though you're not good enough, I'm there and I'm going to be with you. You don't have to be good enough for me to be with you. You don't have to be good enough for this promise of God. Maybe you're afraid of being alone. You don't need to let that fear grab you. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Even if everyone else in your life has. Whatever hurt you're dealing with, whatever history, whatever past you have of abandonment or loneliness, please let the Holy Spirit speak into your heart this morning. And know that God is not in that category. God will never leave you. He'll never abandon you. As I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit's involved in this. The whole Trinity is involved in this promise. Romans 8, verses 14 and 15 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. Does not make you slaves so that you live in what? Fear." You'll see this. And after today, you'll start to see it more and more as you read scripture. And you're like, wow, that really is. This whole idea of God's promise of his presence is completely opposite of fear. So that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. and we cry, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So let's write this down. God continues his promise, and Jesus fulfills his promise through the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit comes to live inside each of us when we become a Christian. Throughout the New Testament, the idea of receiving the Holy Spirit is connected with baptism. If you've been baptized into Christ, then you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is God living inside of you. And I've shared that phrase I don't know how many times, and I'm going to share that phrase however many times I've got breath in my lungs, because that's an awesome, awesome, awesome truth. And every time I type that into a sermon, I think, you know what? I've said that a bazillion times. And I still type it again because it's worth saying every time it comes out of my mouth, that God lives in you. That's the presence of his Holy Spirit. That's amazing, church. That's awesome. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. Here's how that's accomplished today. It's God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. Jesus says, I will always be with you. How is that accomplished? That is fulfilled in the promise of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He lives in us. Jesus said that he had to go away in order to send the Holy Spirit down. And when Jesus shared this in John 16, he says that this is for your good, that this is going to happen. You know, you can do all sorts of things. You can do things that are in line with the Holy Spirit. You can do things that are in line with the righteousness that Jesus gives to us. You can listen to the Holy Spirit and follow his leading and make decisions that are good and pure and holy. But you can go down the other road also. You can make decisions that upset him, that are not connected with God's will for your life, not connected with God's purity or holiness that he wants you to live in. And we're told in Scripture that we can go so far as grieving the Holy Spirit. We can make him grieve inside of us. But nowhere in those passages have I seen, and I'm still looking, so if you find it, let me know. But nowhere in those passages have I read that God will leave us as his children. He doesn't say if you grieve the Holy Spirit to a certain point, then the Holy Spirit's going to pack bags and leave. I don't see that. I've never seen that in Scripture. And we can do things to upset him. We can do things to grieve him. We can do things completely opposite of God's will in our life. And yet, there's not a place that I've found where it says that God's Spirit will leave us. That's pretty cool. I mean, the only thing that it could even come close to thinking about that is when Jesus talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that what that is, that's a complete rejection of the Holy Spirit. And even in those conversations, even in the, I think there's three different dialogues in the Gospels where Jesus talks about this, and it's recorded, these conversations that Jesus has about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. He says it's the unforgivable sin. But even in those, nowhere in that does he mention or talk about the Holy Spirit leaving or deserting or abandoning. All those passages are focused on forgiveness. That's a deep topic, but we don't have time. One of the other places that comes to mind when I was trying to think about the opposite side of this is in Psalm 51, when David is dealing with the guilt and the remorse of the whole Bathsheba debacle and all of his decisions centered around that. And Psalm 51 is a prayer of David's. And in this prayer, David expresses his fear that God would take his Holy Spirit from him. This prayer was a reflection of David's feelings, of his guilt. Because David had this fear that was a real fear for David, it doesn't mean the fear was a legitimate fear, meaning that it had a possibility of actually happening. Does that make sense, the difference? Nowhere does it say God changed his mind because he was going to do that. Nothing. It's David saying, this is what I fear. Please don't do this. But even that doesn't say that it happens or that it has a possibility of happening. All that's doing is showing a human like you and I having that fear of, man, this would be the worst thing that could have ever happened to me is have God's Holy Spirit leave me. Please don't let that happen. You know, I cannot find it in Scripture where it says that the Holy Spirit leaves us. I've looked. It would have been really difficult to read the whole Bible before today's sermon just for that one subject. Especially me, because I'll read the Bible and I'll get distracted and think about other Bible things I'm reading. And I'll get caught up in the story, you know. I'll be into Genesis thinking about how cool it is that God's taking care of Abraham and the ways, and I'll forget all about, oh, I'm here looking for God, you know, leaving his people, deserting them, and not coming back. Even in the Old Testament, you see some of the things where he says, hey, but nowhere do we see that about the Holy Spirit. So if you find it, let me know. A little challenge for you. Get in the Word, see if you can find that, but I can't find it. Man, how uplifting is that? That he's always with us. We can fall away, but nothing even in those passages that talk about us losing our faith or falling away, nothing in those passages say anything about God's Spirit leaving us. God promises, I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. And that's consistent with these findings on the absence of any statements of the Holy Spirit leaving. Jesus promises, I will be with you. Surely I will always be with you to the very end of the age. That's a promise. That's a promise that's not based on us doing our part. It's a promise of his presence. And the Holy Spirit is how God and Jesus accomplish this in the new covenant. And this promise doesn't change because it's rooted in grace. Let's write this down. Because of grace, nothing can separate me from God's love. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And so nothing can separate us then from God. Because it's his love that connects to us. It's his love that's offered this grace. When God is your Father, that's it. When Jesus is your Savior, when the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you, he's in it for the long haul. He is committed to you. And this takes place because of grace. It's not based on us. It's not based on our situation. It's not based on our behavior. It's not based on how deserving or how undeserving we feel. It's totally based on God and God's grace. And that's why nothing can separate us from God's love. Because God's grace is just that powerful. Nothing can break through and destroy God's grace. Nothing can interrupt God's grace. Nothing can suspend or overpower God's grace. And it's God's grace that grants us his presence. So if nothing can break the grace, then nothing can interrupt the presence. And nothing can disrupt this promise. This is another famous passage. Many of you will recognize this. Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Paul's definition. Okay, if God is this much for you, if he's this much into it for you, if he's this committed to you, that he gave his only son to die for you, why would we ever doubt that he would leave us? Why would we ever doubt that he would be against us if he's for us? Why would we ever doubt that anything else would be able to overpower him? We should fear nothing. We should be discouraged by nothing. In all our life, live by those passages that where God says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Do not be captured up in fear. Don't be discouraged. And in all those passages, most of those passages, the counterpart is, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Fear not. I'm here. Don't be discouraged. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. He's the judge. He's the guy in charge of that. You know, the very man who died for you. He's the one in charge of judging. Not another person. Not some other entity in your life. But Jesus, the one who loved you enough to give his life for you. He's the one that's the judge. He's the one on the judge's seat. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who is raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Be uplifted, church, because that's truth. That's scripture. That's God speaking directly to us as his children. I love that passage. Nothing. Nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're more than a conqueror. Man, say it with some conviction. Turn to your other neighbor and step it up a couple notches. Uplift. Uplift the church. Come on, tell them, you are more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors because of Christ. If God chose us, if God is for us, if God sent his son for us, if Jesus died for us, if God gave his spirit to us, if God forgave us, if God loved us, then there is nothing that can be against us. So then what do we have to fear, church? Nothing. Nothing can come up against us that's bigger than God. Nothing can scare him. Nothing can scare him away. Nothing can threaten him. Nothing can move him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are more than conquerors. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than conquerors. I love that. I love that phrasing. Here's conquerors. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You're more than that. You're more than that because of Jesus Christ. What is there to fear? When this is what we live by, when this is what we focus on, when this is what we are uplifted by, nothing can be against us. Nothing can rise up. So we have no fears. There's no fear. There's no room left for fear at all. That phrase, do not be afraid, or fear not, or do not be, or do not fear, that occurs about 100 times in the Bible. And some of you guys might have you know, seen those things where there's 365 passages of do not fear in the Bible, one for each day of the year. That's nice sounding. It's not, it's very Hallmarky. You know, it's not truth. It's not what it is. But what truth is there are about 100 passages that do say this in context, specifically about the subject we're talking about. Don't fear, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. Fear not, I'm here. 1 John 4:18, another passage that you guys are going to recognize right off the bat. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Let's write that down. Perfect love drives out fear. We have God's presence in our life because of his love. His presence is possible because of his grace. You are loved by God. Hear that this morning. You were loved by God even when you were an enemy of his. And you are loved now as one of his children. There's nothing to fear in that kind of love. Now, the God side of things is clear. I got a little long-winded and excited about the God side of things. I don't have much time to talk about our side. Let's write this down, though, because it's truth, and it's truth. This is the challenge. I am the variable in this equation. I am the variable in this equation. Choosing to find security, comfort, to find strength, to find value, to find worth, to find encouragement. Choosing to be uplifted by this truth of God's presence, this promise of his presence in our life, that's up to each of us as individuals. I can present scriptures that you've heard a bazillion times. I can preach them with all the passion I have and all the love I have for the truth in those words. But it's still up to every one of us as individuals to cling to that, to hold on to it, because we're the variable in the equation. God's word does not change. God's promise does not change. God does not change. Jesus does not change. The Holy Spirit does not change. His organization of how all this works does not change. His love, where nothing can separate us from that love, that love does not change. His grace does not change. I am the variable. I'm the variable in this relationship. I'm the variable in this equation. And that's something to be noted. I can choose faith or fear. That's the reality every one of us are faced with today. You can't choose both. You choose one or the other. You choose faith and you trust in these promises of God, or you choose fear. And you walk into Monday the same as you walked out Friday. You can choose to be uplifted, or you can choose to continue to remain a bondservant to fear. Jesus says in John chapter 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, you are like a branch that is, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Let's write this down, and then I need to pray. It's a choice for me to abide in him. It's a choice for me to abide in him. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so very much for these promises that we are reminded of today. Promises I believe a lot of us have heard. Promises I believe a lot of us have clung to in the past, but promises that I think we forget about sometimes. Father, we thank you so much for making it so clear and so evident in Scripture that the promise of your presence drives out fear, that your love drives out fear, that your grace drives out fear. I pray this morning that those here listening to your words, that your Holy Spirit speaking to them through your holy word would be uplifted to walk into the rest of their life from this day forward with a change, with a focus on the promises that you have given us of your presence. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.